It's always a joy to be in God's house and to share a word. I am learning how to speak to an empty church. I just have to remember that people are listening all over the globe. And because I understand what it takes in terms of energy in being motivated, when there's a live audience, something happens to you. So it is with this that I thank those who come in from week to week just to tape their program. I want to thank Sister Kyra for her children's story. I'll need to remember that I should order, ensuring that I have enough to give a tip. That was a wonderful story. I'd like to thank Sister Carol, Elder Carol Thomas, for the scripture reading, our call to worship. But I just love the way in which Elder Thomas read the scripture today. It was slow, methodical, purposeful, and that means I would not be going it over again. Thank you, Elder Thomas. Also today, we were blessed by the ministry of Elder William Moore. And I want to thank you, Elder Moore, for taking the time to remind us of our obligation in returning a faithful tithe and offering. Our music today, Partner in Praise, we thank you for driving all the way to Ypsilanti and singing to an empty pew, knowing that people will be blessed who will be listening online. And we want to thank Sister Carol Bailey. I bow on my knees. I can hear that song every single time. Thank you for your ministries today. And to our listeners, we are always overjoyed to have you spend this time with us. Do us a favor. Call up a friend right now. Send a text message. It may be to a member who, for whatever reason, may not think it important to join us. You know someone who should be online right now. Send a text message asking that person to simply log in and allow God to speak today. Thank you so much for your ministry. Pastor Shaw, we thank you for your faithfulness in every part of ministry, for the legacy you left here, and for the fact that even in a bed, you watch us every Sabbath. Thank you, Monica Johnson, from your bed. You're taking the time to watch us. We are certainly grateful for your contributions to our church. And again, this time we are going to spend a moment with God. I asked some individuals to pray for me today because this is a tough message. I inhabit the prayers of the saints. And sometimes God lays a message on your heart, and it takes a while for it to come together and to come out. Today is one of those days. And our topic today is entitled, Thou Shalt Not Steal. Thou shalt not steal. Father in heaven, come now and speak your words to our ears. Convict us so change may occur even during the service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, when you hear thou shalt not steal, one of the first things we think about is money or something material. We heard the scripture reading, And we know there are the Ten Commandments that God gave to us. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Commandment number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Commandment number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Commandment number five, honor thy mother and thy father, so that thy days be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Commandment number six, thou shalt not commit murder. Commandment number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Commandment number eight, the focus of our sermon today, thou shalt not steal. Commandment number nine, simply put, don't lie. Don't bear false witness. Commandment number 10, don't covet what your neighbor has. When we think of this topic, thou shalt not steal, we think of money. And today I want to share 3 points. And I want you to remove from your consciousness that you know what I'll be talking about, because you don't know. Yes, at the start of the message, point number one and point number two, you may have something familiar when we consider this commandment. The 15th verse of Exodus 20, thou shalt not steal. But I want us, even as we listen today, to pray, because God is going to speak to all of us. But even as he speaks to all of us, this message today are for us who call ourselves evangelicals. Here is a famous Bible text, Malachi 3:8. It simply says, in terms of a question, given the answer, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. And I want to move immediately into my first point for today. That is, stealing by withholding. Stealing by withholding. In the context of God, we are stealing when we do not give him what is rightfully his. When we withhold from him what is his, we are told that God says a tenth of what we have belongs to him. One tenth. But the truth is, everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God. But he says, you, my children, you have to live, and I am going to let you keep 90% of what you earn. You're only required to give me 10%, and you can also be encouraged to give a free will offering. At the end of the day, if you give 10% tithe and 10% offering, you still have 80% at your disposal. Well, we do practice some withholding. That is, we do not return to God what is rightfully his. Very often in ministry, we may encounter the issue of selecting offices for the church. And I've been places, I've served in places where some bright person would want to bring a word that says people should not be considered for office if they're not returning a faithful tithe and supporting the church with the offering. Well, I believe that is true. I accept the counsel from the spirit of prophecy that also makes that statement, that if people are not faithful to God, they should not hold office. But here is where I depart. I deviate, I depart, I make the distinction that your tithing, it is between you and God. And I do not go someplace to check up on what a person gives to the treasury. Reason, very simple. Unless you know what someone is earning, you can't know what 10% is. And so I have refused to investigate a person because I believe it's a matter between a child of God and God. God says, return a faithful tithe unto me. Don't withhold it. I have had questions whereby people say, well, it's the Bible says of all your increase. So therefore, let me pay all my bills. And when I'm finished paying my bills, then what's left, I'm going to give a tithe and an offering. Question, is that the way the IRS works? Does the IRS say, pay your car note, pay for your groceries, pay your charge cards, pay everything, and when what's left, that's what we're going to tax? I don't think that's what they say. They tax you right off the top. They have some deductions, but you are taxed on your gross, not on your net. So therefore, when we are considering what we are to do with God, I want us to remember that when we withhold, it's a form of stealing. We're not giving to God what He requires, what He asks of us. So withholding of my talent is stealing from God what He's given to me. Yes, I just said it. So if you have a talent to do something, but because you feel you don't have to do it, that's all right. God says, no, don't withhold what I've given to you. You know you can sing. You know you can play the piano. You know you can pray. You know you can teach a Sabbath school class. You know you have talent. First of all, recognize that the talent comes from God. Yes, you had to work at it. You had to develop it. But who gave you the strength, the motivation, the courage, and the ability to work on that talent? Don't withhold your talent from God. Don't withhold your tithes from God, for it belongs to Him. Don't withhold your temple from God. It belongs to Him. And when you don't give Him what belongs to Him, you are stealing from Him. Don't withhold your time from God. All the time we have comes from Him. And therefore, let us not steal by withholding. Number one, we can steal by withholding. Number two, Acts chapter 5 brings to us the story that we know well. Let me share a few verses. Verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power, own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou, say it with me, thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. So we steal by withholding, and we steal by also lying. Question. Do you sometimes feel as if God is withholding from you? If you feel that way, ask yourself, am I withholding from God? Is my feeling coming as a result of my guilt for what I'm withholding from Him? But we steal by withholding, and we steal by lying. In the book of Acts, we had a situation. Jesus Christ had been around 40 days, 40, since his resurrection. He had showed himself unto the disciples. And Jesus Christ had inspired, invigorated his disciples. They thought he was dead, but now they knew he was alive. And the church was on fire. And Peter tells us that everyone in the early church, post-resurrection, were so together that they had all things common. They sold what they had, and they brought the proceeds, gave it to Peter, so that no one would have a lack. Well, 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 what do you know? You had a young man by the name of Joseph, and I have a brother, his name is Joseph, who was from Cyprus. And Joseph had a field. And Joseph sold his field and brought everything to Peter. Things were hot. Peter and John were on fire. One time they encountered a beggar who had been paralyzed from birth. And he sat at a gate called Beautiful. What an irony. A man with legs that will not work, and he sat by this gate called Beautiful, begging. And here were Peter and John coming. And as they passed by, the beggar did what he often did. He begged. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It was fresh on Peter's mind that Jesus was alive. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, take up your bed and walk. And that Peter held his arm, helped him up. He stood up. And he began walking, he began leaping, shouting, and praising God. That was the atmosphere at the time, and the church was on fire. And so people were selling and bringing the proceeds, and then came Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, and they conspired. We are going to sell our land, but we're not going to give all the money to the church. Well, you must know it was not required for them to give all the money to the church. That's why Peter said it was your own. But you came trying to impress us, like Joseph of Cyprus, that you're all in. I wonder, sometimes are we in God's household of faith motivated to do things because we see other people doing it, but we're not all in, but we simply want to have the appearance as if we're all in. And Peter said to them, first came the husband, and Peter asked him, and when he told Peter, this is all that I got, Peter said, you see these young men here? They're going to take your body out. For you have not lied unto men, you have lied unto God. You stole by lying. We can steal by withholding. We can also steal by lying. And he dropped dead. The young men took him out to the field and they buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife, Sapphira, came in and told the same story, that they sold everything and brought all the proceeds to the church. And Peter said, the same young man who took your husband's body out, they are going to take your body out also, because you have not lied unto men. You have lied unto God. You stole by lying. Thou shalt not steal. We can steal by withholding, and we can steal by lying. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 5 that they took her out and buried her right next to her husband. I wonder what will happen in the second resurrection when they get up. Who will be blaming whom for what transpired? So we steal by lying, we steal by withholding. And now I want you to put on your seatbelts, because we'll come to the third point I'm going to make today, and I'm going to spend some time because of its relevance. Stealing by cheating. When we use that word cheating in our context, one of the first things that come to mind is the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's our thinking. We confine our thinking of cheating to adultery. Well, it does include adultery. And by the way, I know it's unusual for us to talk about the seventh commandment and not spend time dealing with remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're not going to deal with that today. We're going to deal with the eighth commandment, which says, thou shalt not steal. Well, can we steal by cheating? Here in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. Malachi says the people who are bringing animals to be sacrificed, they made a vow to give God a perfect male from the flock. Made a vow. But when they thought no one was looking, They took out a blemished animal and sacrificed it instead. In other words, they were stealing by cheating. When we make a vow to God and tell him this is what we're going to do, and then we substitute it because we think no one is looking, we are stealing by cheating. Then comes Mr. Amos. And this is what Amos says. When will the new moon be over that we may sell again, and the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat? Hold a minute. What is Amos talking about? Well, let me put it this way. Amos is talking to us present day who can't wait for the Sabbath to be over so we can do what we want to do. And then he was, if I should be honest to the text, he was talking about people who were selling in the market, skimping on the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales. Amos 8:5. So Amos says, we cheat when we rob God. We can't wait for the Sabbath to be over so we can go about doing what we want to do. And in this case, when we are being dishonest, we're not giving people what they pay for. That's stealing by cheating. In the 2017-2018 baseball season, the Houston Astros won the World Series. Yes, folks, that's what it says. But did you know that they were fined $5 million for cheating? They had set up cameras so they can steal the signals of the catcher and relay it with a runner from the dugout onto the field so they can know what pitch to expect. So the manager was fired, and the assistant manager was fired by the Houston Astros, but they were both suspended from baseball for a year. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a climate that seems to suggest, because it was not just the Houston Astros, the Red Sox were caught cheating before, and they received some penalties. And the fact that the Astros did it seems to say you must, or you can cheat as long as you are not caught. So in sports, we have come to expect, whether it's doctoring a ball, whether it's stealing signals, whatever it is, as long as we can win, we're all right. So there is stealing by cheating. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is not only happening in the world of sports. Why do you say that? Why do you say it's not only happening in the world of sports? Well, the Pew Research did a survey recently, and here is what they concluded. Here is what they concluded. Listen to the numbers. The survey says that 8 out of 10 white evangelicals say they are going to vote for this president in office. Now, let me be very clear. As a nonprofit organization, we cannot tell you who to vote for. But as a minister of the gospel, I have a God-given responsibility to ask Christians to behave in accordance with Christian values and principles. The Pew Research says that 8 out of 10 white evangelicals say they are going to vote for this president. That same research says, watch the numbers now, that 9 out of 10 African Americans do not believe that this president has their best interests at heart. So in our church, we have a divide. We have a racial divide. We have white evangelicals. And for those who may not know what is an evangelical, let me break it down. That word comes from the Greek word euangelion, which simply means the gospel. And the gospel is salvation through the merits of Christ alone. By grace are ye saved through faith. In other words, the evangelical does not have to pay penance to be saved. You cannot work for salvation. Evangelicals are people who believe that they are saved by the merits of Christ alone. Hello? That doesn't stop there. Evangelicals believe that when they are converted, their lifestyle should reflect the values of Christ. What are the values of Christ? I'm so glad you asked. Well, Jesus Christ abhors lying. He abhors cheating. He uplifts decency and honesty and integrity. And as an individual, when I am not doing those things, I am misrepresenting Christ. But think of the millions of atheists we have in our country and around the world. And they see people who profess to know Christ and to love Christ saying, we don't care about lying. We don't care about cheating. We only care about winning. So in a real sense, evangelicals may become the poster child for atheists because they look at us and they say, why in the world should we believe in your God when you don't even believe in your own God? Listen to me, folks. This is not about a man or any man. It's not about this president. It's not about a president that is to come. It's about aligning ourselves with that which Christ does not support. Let me give you an example. A few weeks ago, I was talking to a CPL instructor. And he told me that when they are training new people on the range how to shoot a weapon, the most popular and common weapon for a new person learning to shoot is a 9mm handgun. You cannot find a 9mm handgun today, nor the ammunition. He said he can't even go buy the ammunitions. Why? Well, I'm so glad you asked. You may have seen the commercials that say somebody is going to take away your guns. Have you heard those commercials before? Yes. In 2008, we heard the very same commercials. And people ran to the gun stores and they stocked up because the commercial said Barack Obama is going to take away your guns. Well, we went 8 years with Obama and nobody took away your guns. But you see, these folk understand the American psyche. They know that this have to come with the same message and it will work. It will resonate. So you have Americans today running out and doing what they did in 2008 and 2012. They went and they stocked up on guns because they were afraid that somebody was going to take away their guns. So evangelicals, I'm speaking to all of us. The question is, do you value honesty? Do you value integrity? Do you believe that these are the values of Jesus? Do you value speaking the truth? You have a right to vote for anyone you so choose. But when you can deny the very platform on which you say you stand, you are sending a message when 80% who have seen the last 3.5 years and said, we don't care. And what is the rationale? Well, I did some research. And the rationale is somehow they believe if they can stock the courts with judges who will reverse Roe v. Wade, they can stock the courts with judges who will say, you know what? We are going to make a law that a woman cannot have an abortion because we are concerned about life. Well, it's okay to be concerned about life in the womb. What happens to that life out of the womb? The very same people who are concerned about life support the death penalty. And then, if I can bring it home, when I saw an institution of my denomination supporting or making the effort to make the distinction between supporting the protesters who were in the streets after the death of George Floyd, they went as far as to say, we support the protesters, but we do not support Black Lives Matter. And they echo all lives matter. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's about time we put this silly logic to rest. So listen to me today, please. If you have a vehicle, a car, and it has 4 wheels, 1, 2, 3, 4 wheels, 1 wheel gets no air, 1 wheel gets a little grease, 1 wheel is kicked, 1 wheel is abused, and that wheel begins to cry, my wheel matters. Should the other 3 wheels say, all wheels matter? They are not saying anything because they're not the ones feeling the kicking and the shooting and the abuse. Black Lives Matter, the word only is not there. It doesn't say only Black Lives Matter. So when someone wants to say all lives matter, here are the facts. If all lives matter, there will be no need for Black Lives Matter. None whatsoever. So I am heartened when I see our brothers and sisters of a different complexion in the streets marching with Black Lives Matter, That says to me that they get it. And what is strange is that they get it and evangelicals don't get it. If anybody should get it, it's those who believe in the principles on the which they claim their relationship with Christ. Christ is all about honesty, decency, integrity, and truth. Truth should not be sacrificed for expediency. So what is it I'm saying today? Thou shalt not steal means we should stop stealing by withholding. Thou shalt not steal means we should stop stealing by lying. Thou shalt not steal, we should stop stealing by cheating. When you can support Cambridge Analytica, you can support fake news so that people become fearful in this country. When you can have people pulling guns upon people who are marching peacefully and those people are being paraded as heroes and you telling God that's what you support. When you can have a young black man shot in the back 7 times and there is nothing coming to him in terms of sympathy or words of empathy, but you're ready to empathize with a 17-year-old who leaves his state with his gun and drives to Kenosha, Wisconsin, and shoots 2 people dead, 3 people he shot, and you call him a hero? Something is wrong with your Christianity. So today, I would like to ask us all to re-examine. Every candidate is imperfect. Everyone. There is no such thing as a perfect candidate. And I can't tell you who to vote for, but I can ask you to consider what Christ has placed upon you as a burden. And if you find that you can say, well, lying doesn't matter. Somebody can tweet lies all day long. It means nothing to you. You can say to yourself, ask yourself, what is this saying to the atheist who you're trying to say there is a God? That atheist must believe there is no God when we behave as if there is no God. So my word today is, thou shalt not steal. Don't steal by withholding. Give God what is his just due, what he deserves, what he's asked for. Don't steal by lying. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Don't be behaving as if science is nothing. Yes, the galaxies and the planets, the universe tell us we have a God of science. We've gotten to the place where we're so ridiculous that we're willing to endanger the lives. I thank Miss Paris today for her health nugget, reminding us there is nothing wrong about wearing a mask. We ought to wear masks. Don't be taken by the pictures of people who are gathering in large numbers without masks. Since when is science an issue with Christians? We have a God of science. He made the universe. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. What is God saying to us today? We need to accept Exodus 20:15. Thou shalt not steal. I want to make an appeal today. And the appeal is a rather simple one. I'm not asking you to join the church. It's an appeal for you to go by yourself, not with your spouse, not with a friend, not with a sibling, to go by yourself in your closet and have a little talk with Jesus. Talk to him and let him speak to you. Ask him how to reconcile what you believe and how you're going to vote. For any candidate, whoever you vote for, know the issues. Talk to God about it. So my appeal is for you to have a little talk with Jesus. Talk to him like you haven't spoken to him in a while. Talk to him about what bothers you, the conflicts you have. We're not going to demonize anybody. Some people truly, genuinely are confused. Ask God to remove the cobwebs and the veil so you can see clearly and make a decision. As Christians, we are part of this world. We cannot afford to remove ourselves from the world. We have to be a part of it. And we need, no matter who's in power, to behave according to the principles that we espouse. We know what those principles are. So have a little talk. I'm going to talk to Jesus myself. How about you? Raise your hand where you are, that you will have a private talk with God, not just about voting, but of your life, about how you are going to live in accordance with the things you espouse. Father in heaven, we do recognize that some folk are moved by emotion, some folk are moved by investigation. But whatever we're moved by, Father, we want to have a talk with you and be open so that you will speak to us. May we hear your voice. Guide us as to how we live our lives. May we not be poster children for the atheist who believes there is no God and can point to us and say, you see, they really don't even believe in what they claim to believe. May we have this talk with you. And at the end, Father, may we hear you say everything is going to be all right. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen.